Food. Do you love food? And would it be awesome if you could eat whatever you wanted to and your body was a food burning machine so that everything you put in there got burnt up and you never got chubby, you never got fat, you never put on any weight, you never had to go on a diet, you never needed to lose weight. You could just be in great shape and love your food. What? Is it possible? And if we have a look at some of the people that are in that position, I'm sure you've known some or you are one, where literally people eat whatever they want and they don't put on any weight. And they seem to eat an enormous amount of food and not put any weight. Why? And is it possible that they have a body that literally has a metabolism that requires an enormous amount of food? So if you are a normal human being that at the moment, if you eat food, you get fat, or if you eat too much, I'll rephrase, if you eat too much food, you get fat, what could we do to become more like the people that eat whatever they want and don't put on any weight? Is it possible? Great question. Anatomy and physiology of the human body, what would that tell us about that? And as an exercise professional, as a parent, a teacher, a coach, as a person who wants to be healthy, fit and strong and not be overweight any time in your life, would it be good to find out how the human body works as far as putting food in and burning food off? Great question. As an exercise professional, obviously that's what we do. We really need to understand what happens to the food that goes into our body, what happens when it's in there, how do we burn it off, and how do we make sure that we've got a metabolism, a human body, that whatever we put in there gets burnt up. And isn't it awesome that that's the case? Woohoo! How? So there's a couple of things to have a look at. Number one is your base metabolic rate. So that's just the simple, how many calories does my body need when I'm doing nothing? If I were lying down all day, if I was in a hospital bed, God forbid, if I was just an inactive person, would my body require energy to survive, to just live? And of course the answer is yes, because breathing takes energy, your heart pumping takes energy, blood flowing around your body takes energy, replacing skin cells takes energy, going to the bathroom takes energy. So our body uses energy to survive, and it's just called a calorie or a kilojoule. So your body needs X number of calories or kilojoules to live. That's called your base metabolic rate. Obviously, when you get up and move around, your body's ability to use more calories increases because we need more energy. So the faster you move, the more calories you burn. The more intensely you move, the more calories you burn. The harder you move, the more calories you burn. So your metabolic rate obviously changes throughout the day. So you might wake up at a base metabolic rate because you've been sleeping. Maybe you wake up with an alarm. Obviously, your metabolism will go up. Because you've got blood flowing through your body really fast because you woke up with a shock. If you get up and exercise, if you eat food, anything that increases the body's requirement to use energy, to use calories, obviously our metabolic rate will go up. The next interesting one is, where do those calories come from? And your respiratory quotient, your RQ, respiratory quotient, some people would call it, is where the calories are coming from. And you'll often hear, oh, not all calories are the same. Just as a quick side note of that, that's like saying all kilometers are not the same or all kilograms are not the same. It's just a measurement of energy. So a kilometer is a measurement of distance. A kilogram is a measurement of weight. A calorie or a kilojoule is a measurement of energy. So that doesn't change. But yes, when we are being active human beings, or when we're just living as a human being, our body will use a combination of fuels to keep us alive. So it's been suggested that it's probably around about a 50-50. So your body will burn half of your energy comes from carbohydrate, half of it comes from fat. And interestingly, though, those two things have a completely different storage system. So carbohydrate has just a storage, or simple small storage system, of half a kilo. We store some in our brain as glucose, we store some in our muscles as glycogen, and we store some in our liver as glycogen, and that's about it. You might have blood sugar, so that would increase your blood sugar levels, but we really only store about half a kilo. Fat, on the other hand, we have an enormous storage system for. As you know, we can keep getting getting fatter and fatter. Our fat cells can keep increasing in size, and when they get too big, they split, and we can have now even more fat cells, which can keep getting fatter and fatter. So do we want to have a body that burns fat really fast? And if you love food, and a lot of food now has a high fat content, would it be a really good idea to have a body that's a fat-burning machine, let alone just a food-burning machine? So the question is, how can I increase my base metabolic rate so I need more calories at rest? How do I increase my metabolism so I'm burning more calories throughout the day? And then how can I change my respiratory quotient so it actually prefers to burn fat rather than carbohydrate, because I've only got half a kilo of storage of carbohydrate, but an enormous storage system for fat? And if you don't want to get fat and you eat too much food or eat too much of anything, including fat, we just keep getting fatter. So can you turn your body into a fat-burning machine, a food-burning machine, a calorie-burning machine, and can you have a fast base metabolic rate, and respiratory quotient that prefers to burn fat? And the answer is yes! So those people that you know that burn calories really fast, they seem to eat an enormous amount of food and not get fat. Is it possible that they've got a very fast base metabolic rate, so they've got a big engine that requires a large amount of fuel to start with? Then they do stuff during the day that increases their metabolic rate. And on top of that, their body prefers to burn fat because they are a fat-burning machine. And the answer to that is really simple. Is it possible that a human body that is in peak physical condition, that's a high-performance machine, all of those things will be working really well? Is it possible that if my body as a human body is really fit, so my heart and lungs can work effectively to get vitamins, minerals, phytochemicals, antioxidants around my body, I can breathe deeply, all my systems are working effectively, is it possible that all of those other systems, including my hunger mechanism, my I feel full mechanism, my metabolism, will all be working in peak physical performance? And on top of that, the people that are really fit, and I'll just use this as an example. If I'm in a room with, let's say there's 100 people in the room, the people that are really fit in that room will be burning calories much faster at rest than the people that are unfit. And because of their respiratory quotient preferring to burn fat, they will be burning fat faster at rest than the unfit people in the room. So if you want to be one of those people that burns fat really fast, burns calories really fast, burns up all the food that you put into your body, could a great suggestion be to get really fit? Because if you're fit, everything works well. On top of that, if you have a really big engine, and that's the definition of your metabolic rate, or we'll go back further, your base metabolic rate, if the calories that your body needs to survive are a large number, why is that? And is it possible that you have a large capacity to burn calories because you have a large engine? Better analogy. The high performance cars in the world, the ones that go really fast, what kind of engine do they have? They have a big engine that requires a large amount of fuel. And that's why I love, people say, Roey, why do you love cars? You're an old lady and you just love fast cars. Well, understanding how a fast car works is so similar to a fast body. A body that requires a large amount of fuel, a high performance body, is very similar to a high performance car. And this is what I love about it. When you've got a high performance car with a big engine, they race them. They take them out and they absolutely thrash them. They drive them as hard and fast as they possibly can. And interestingly, those high-performance cars, the mechanics, even the driver, will know exactly what's going on at any time, because the dials in the car will say you need brake fluid, you need oil, you need water, you need the tires pumped up, you need to put more fuel into this engine because it's going to run out of fuel. And is it possible that if a body's really fit, if it's a high-performance machine, that all of those systems will be working really effectively? Is it possible that your body will tell you, I'm hungry, feed me, I'm full, stop feeding me? I'll put it into reverse. Is it possible that if you have a low performance machine, a low performance body, if it's unfit, fit, if it's weak, if it's unhealthy? Is it possible that all of those mechanisms might have broken down? Your body's ability to tell you that you're full might have broken down. And it's just, that's just an obvious to me. Have you watched people that just seem to keep eating and eating and eating, and you wonder how come they're not getting full? Is it possible that that system's broken because their body's not in peak physical condition? And I use the car analogy on purpose because high-performance cars are thrashed, and I like to thrash my body. I love to sprint. I love to lift heavy. I love to sprint up high, steep mountains. I often say to my little puppy dog, Giorgio, we've just thrashed ourselves. We're puffing really heavy, and we've got to the top of this mountain. Now, we couldn't do that if we had a little engine. You have to have a big, strong engine to be able to do that. You burn a lot of calories to be able to do that, and it feels awesome when you can do that. So if you want a body that can be thrashed, so you can do all the things that you want to do at a high performance, intense rate and use a large amount of fuel doing it, is it possible that number one, you need a really fit body, a fit machine, and you need a really strong, big engine? Strong, big engine. And is it possible that muscles are the engine in our body? So how do we get a resting metabolism, a base metabolic rate that's really high? And could it be that we need more muscle? Because muscle is the engine in our body. Men that have more muscle, and I use men particularly because men have the capability of taking their body. If you were born with a four-cylinder engine and you're a bloke, you can actually grow it to a six-cylinder or an eight-cylinder, maybe even a 12-cylinder engine or a jet engine. And I use that as an example because you've seen some of the bodybuilding guys that are not only genetically enormous with large amount of muscle, but then they put more human growth hormone in and more testosterone in, and they keep getting bigger and bigger. And can you imagine how many calories, how much food a 100 kilo, 120 kilogram body needs every day? It will blow your mind if you haven't observed how much food large male bodybuilders eat. thousands of calories every day. And it's really interesting to watch that happen with a big engine. Now, the reverse of that would be sprinters, for example, who, yes, have a big engine, but they also have a really fast engine. And they're the same. They eat enormous amounts of food, and their body requires an enormous amount of fuel because they've got a big engine and they're forcing it to drive really fast. So I like to observe people like that. I like to observe high-performance machines, and how can I turn my body into a high-performance machine that requires a large amount of food? And I'm going to ask that question again. This is probably not relevant if you've just got a tiny appetite. But if, like me, you really love food, wouldn't it be awesome to be able to eat whatever you want without having to ever go on a diet? And I'm using myself as an example, not because I want you to do what I do, but I never want to go on a diet. I'm not the person that wants to restrict what I eat or not have something when I really want it. And I have some major favorite foods that I love to eat on a regular basis. But here's an interesting thing to take note of. I only eat when I'm hungry. So you could put my favorite food in front of me, and if I'm not hungry, I'm not interested in eating it. The reverse of that, you could put my favorite food in front of me and I've just had a great meal, but then you come along with some, let's say hazelnut gelati, because that's my favorite. If I'm full, I can't eat it. I don't want to eat it. I'm not interested in eating it. So what's the difference between a body that just keeps eating food and a body that stops eating food? And is it possible, we go back to that high-performance car analogy, that if the body is working as a high-performance car, as a high-performance machine, that the dials will be working? If you're hungry, your body will tell you. If you're full, your body will tell you. If you're tired, does your body tell you? If you are thirsty, does your body tell you? If you need to exercise, does your body tell you? And a high performance machine and all the high performance mechanics and race car drivers of Formula One and NASCAR and all of the top high performance racing in the world will all tell you that the dials will tell them. They keep that car so highly tuned that when it needs something, the car will tell the driver or the mechanic. Well, I want to live my life like that. So I want to keep my car in peak physical peak physical condition so I can be a peak physical performer, put in large amounts of fuel because I've got a really big engine, but also stop putting fuel in when the fuel tank is full and know when it's empty. So is it possible that all of that happens when you're fit and when you're strong? And of course the answer is yes. So do we need to get fit and do we need to get strong? Now the beautiful thing about food and when you hear people talk about macronutrients and different kinds of calories and all of the stuff, all the contradicting and controversial stuff that comes with food. First of all, if we eat too much food, what happens? Doesn't matter what food it is. What will happen if we eat too much or drink too much? Now, the side effect for drinking too much alcohol, for example, if we drink too much alcohol, there's no storage for it. So when your body's got nowhere to put it, it obviously has to burn it off. So alcohol becomes the preferred energy source, which means that everything else that you put into your body that isn't alcohol, your body has to do something with it. And is it possible that if you eat too much or drink too much, your body will convert whatever you don't need into fat? And the answer to that is yes, of course, except for alcohol, because you can't convert alcohol into fat. It just gets burnt off. But that half a kilo that you store of carbohydrate that your body needs to be a fast fat burning machine, because when you are really fit, you are a fast fat burning machine. And the only way, or the only energy source for getting really fit and to lift really heavy so that you have a big engine and a fast engine, that fuel source is carbohydrate, which is very exciting, but we only store half a kilo of that. So that's where your respiratory quotient becomes really important, because if your body's preferring to burn fat, it means that you can be a fat burning machine. Woohoo! the other exciting thing, of course, about being a fat burning machine is that if your body can convert everything else into fat, if you've got a body that's become overweight or out of shape, if you can turn your body into a fat burning machine, you'll obviously be able to get rid of the excess fat much, much quicker, because your body will want to get rid of it. Because excess, and I'll use the high performance car again, if you've got excess weight in the car, particularly Formula One, for example, they even have a real strict weight restriction on the drivers, because the car has to be light. Any form of racing, when it's to do with an engine of any kind, or even sailing for that matter, if there's no wind, they have less sailors on the boat because they restrict the weight. So if you want a high performance body, if you want a high performance machine, it's suggested that you don't want to be dragging around excess weight. So if you can turn your body into a fat burning machine, it means you won't be carrying around excess fat. You'll just have the fat on your body that it needs to keep you warm and keep your hair in place and keep your internal organs in place. So what does all this mean when it comes to food? Well, there are people that have a fast fat burning machine. They have a really high base metabolic rate, so they burn a lot of calories at rest. They have a fast metabolism, which means when they go out to move, when they exercise, they burn a lot of calories, or they burn more calories because their body has a bigger engine, and their respiratory quotient means that they burn more fat. So how do we do that? Number one, get fit. The fitter you are, the more effective all of those systems will work, of course. Now, the engine of your body is your muscle, and if that wastes away, then you get a smaller engine. So why would you want that to waste away, particularly as a woman? It seems that men don't or aren't too concerned about being big and being strong. And if a bloke, as I shared, if he lifts heavy things, if he gets strong, he'll get bigger muscles. He gets a bigger muscles means a faster metabolism, means that he can eat more food. It seems though that women who are constantly going on a diet, trying to lose weight, seem to forget that connection. If you've got a tiny little engine, it doesn't need much fuel. If you've got a bigger engine, you need more fuel. So how can me as a woman, how can I turn my body into can I get a bigger machine? And the answer is probably no. You might have some kind of genetics where you can increase the amount of muscle you've got by 1 or 2 kilos if you're lucky, maybe 5 if you've got extreme genetics. But even that doesn't take you from a 4-cylinder engine to a V12. What it does though is if you maintain your muscle tissue, you will maintain your metabolism. If you lose muscle tissue, if you get smaller muscles because they waste away, and unfortunately now we have children who have muscles wasting away, because if you don't use your muscles, you lose them. If you don't do high intensity fast activity, the muscle tissue that you lose is the fast twitch muscle fibers, which means your ability to sprint, to lift heavy, becomes less and less as you waste away. So the challenge is fast metabolism means fast activity, high intense activity from fast twitch muscle fiber. Your body will obviously keep the slow twitch muscle fibers because they're the ones that allow you to walk slowly and just to live on a day-to-day basis. But there's no joke when you hear if you don't use it, you will lose it. That's the truth. And more importantly, when it comes to your engine size, you will lose the fast twitch muscle fibers because they have no reason to be around anymore. If you're not sprinting, if you're not lifting heavy, if you're not boxing, if you're not doing high intense activity, if you're not getting puffed, your body says, well, we don't need these anymore. We'll let them waste away. So there goes your fast metabolism. There goes your fast base metabolic rate. There goes your body's ability to burn fat and food really fast. And then you just slow down and get old. Yuck, like an old car just rots away or rusts away. I don't want to do that. How about you? So if you love your food and you want to eat more food, you need a fast base metabolic rate. That's more muscle. So you want to maintain the muscle you've been given or aim to get some more. And if you're a bloke, you can of course get some more. If you are a woman, you can just maintain what you've got. You can keep getting stronger and force your body to burn more calories or to use more fuel, because when you've got a stronger body, you can move more, you can move faster, you can move with higher intensity, which means you have a faster metabolic rate. It also means that you have a respiratory quotient that prefers to burn fat rather than carbohydrate and wants to store the carbohydrate for the high intense activity. So you literally become a fat burning machine. Now, the next part of this is really exciting, because when you have a look at the people that eat a large amount of food and don't put on any weight, it's movement in general. So yes, when you're really fit, and yes, when you're really strong, you'll have a faster metabolism at rest and when you're exercising or when you're moving. But what about during the day, just normal activity? The people that move more burn more. I'm going to say that again, or I'll reverse that. I'll turn it into a question. Is it possible that people that move more burn more? And of course, that's just common sense, isn't it? So there are people who burn somewhere between 800 to 1,000 to even 2,000 calories more than someone else exactly the same size and the same age and the same metabolism, and I'll say base metabolic rate that they have. It's because they're more active during the day. And there are people, I'm sure you've met them, they just move faster. They sit up and down fast. They talk faster. They're constantly moving. If they're on the phone, they don't sit down. They're moving around. They never take the escalator. They always take the stairs. They always park a long way away from the shops. They race their trolley to in and out of the supermarket. They just do things fast. And the interesting thing is that those people, of course, have been researched, because nobody can understand, or they think it's not fair that people can eat so much food and not put on any weight. And of course, that's because they move more, burn more, move more, burn more. And it's interesting because these people have been called fidgeters. And if you in school, like me, got in trouble for being a fidgeter, if you are now a teacher or a parent, please do not discourage your children from fidgeting. Fidgeters burn somewhere between 800 to 2,000 or more calories every day just because they fidget. They tap their pen, they tap their toe, they move their arms, they talk faster, they get up and down quicker. They just do things faster and they do more things, small activities. The human body, when it moves more, it requires more energy. So if you want to become a fast fat burning machine, if you want to become a fast calorie burning machine, if you want to become a fast food burning machine, move more, burn more, move more, burn more. For me, I always say move more, eat more. So that's why I hate sitting down. Another interesting thing to take note of, again, no argument on this one, the human body actually burns more calories in the upright position. Of course, that makes sense because you're not being supported by anything. If you sit down, the chair's supporting you. If you lie down, the ground's supporting you or your bed's supporting you. If you're in your upright position, your body's got to support you, which requires, are you ready, at least 7% more energy. So if you're constantly in the upright position, your body will burn up to 7% more calories. I think that's pretty exciting. So more muscle, get fit, fidget, get upright, keep moving, 7% more calories in the upright position. Now, the next one's really exciting. The brain uses a whole stack of energy. And unfortunately, according to the brain scientists, most of us don't challenge our brain very often. The thoughts that we, and this of course has been measured, the thoughts that we think today are the same as the thoughts that we had yesterday, because we're doing the same thing over and over. But every time we challenge our brain, we force our brain to work harder, we force our brain to do more, then guess what happens? More energy. The brain uses a stack of energy. It's a high metabolic machine. And of course, the brain runs on glucose. So your body will require this constant of, if you're depleting that half a kilo of carbohydrate, which is glucose, glycogen in it's all its forms, you need to keep replacing it. So the harder you think, the more you challenge your brain, the more you learn, the more words to songs that you learn, the more dance moves that you learn, the more you change your thought pattern from yesterday to today to tomorrow is different again, the more energy your brain requires. So you can speed up your metabolism just by thinking more, doing more, learning more, being more creative. Come on, that's exciting. The next one that's really interesting, particularly because I live in the South Island of New Zealand now, it's cold. If it's cold, and again, this makes sense, what does your body have to do if you're cold? It has to warm itself up. And I often hear people whinging and moaning, complaining because it's cold. Well, how about get really excited about the cold, because your metabolism has to speed up when it's cold. If you are, and I'm sure you've seen these people, it's the middle of winter and they're wearing shorts and a singlet. They're outside in shorts and a singlet. And you'll often find that those people outside in winter wearing shorts and a singlet are not overweight. They're not chubby. They're eating a large amount of food and they're still really thin because they're outside forcing their body to stay warm, and that requires an enormous amount of energy. If you are already warm, your body doesn't have to warm itself up. It doesn't require any energy to do that. So could you reverse that if you live in a warm environment and just get cold more often? So this is really fun because something I've been doing since my mum taught me, I think since I started having a shower, I've always had a cold shower to start my shower and a cold shower to finish. Now, my mother always told me that was good for circulation and it was good for your immune system because your body has to be stronger to fight the cold, and it's good for your skin. And I listened to her because my mother had absolutely gorgeous skin even as she got older. And my mother had me at she was quite old when she had me. She's over 50 and she had beautiful skin right up until the day she died. She had this most beautiful skin, and she always said that's because she drank a lot of water and she always had a cold shower. But now it's really interesting because that's become quite trendy, something I've been doing all of my life. And as I shared, I'm 120, just look good for my age. People are now having ice baths and cold showers, and it's become a real trendy, unique thing to speed up your metabolism by forcing your body cold. And there's a lot of people running around in the snow, particularly in the South Island of New Zealand, because it's trendy to speed up your metabolism. But if it can add value to your life, and the beautiful thing is when you look at the science behind that, when you get cold, and if you shock your body, for example, with cold, that produces neurochemicals like epinephrine and adrenaline. Your body's under stress, so it feels like it's got to get the hell out of there. They're movement drugs, adrenaline and epinephrine. And when you produce those, your body wants to move, because if you're cold, of course, your body wants to move to get warm. So if you're producing those chemicals, that requires more energy. If you are forcing your body to get warm, that requires energy. So it might be a fun thing to add into your life for your mental toughness as well, by the way. Have a cold shower every so often and force your metabolism up. And if it is cold, how about not moan and complain and I wish it wasn't cold? How about appreciate the fact that your metabolism has to be faster to warm you up? Aha! So if you want to be a fat burning machine, a food burning machine, eat whatever you want and not put on any weight, could it be a really good idea to have as much muscle as you possibly can get? So maintain the muscle you've got, and if you can, put some more on. Would it be a really good idea to work intensely throughout the day? So obviously the harder you exercise, the more calories you burn. The harder you puff, the more calories you burn. The more intensity you put into any activity, the more your metabolism speeds up because the more calories you burn. Then how about your respiratory quotient? If you're really fit, you will now have a faster fat burning machine, so you're less likely to get fat. And if you are fat, you'll burn off the fat really quickly or much quicker. Could it be a really good idea to force your brain to work really hard? So do some puzzles, learn some dance moves, learn some katas or patterns for martial arts. Constantly challenge your brain, because the more your brain works, the faster your metabolism will be. And then how about every so often get cold, or if it is cold, don't whinge about it. Be excited about it because it speeds up your metabolism. And isn't it interesting that there are a lot of people who invest a lot of time to lose weight, or they're people who are scared of getting fat, so they're constantly dieting and exercising and forcing their body into all sorts of interesting doing things to try and get rid of fat or not put on fat. But there are a unique group of people in the world who have never been fat. They've been the same weight, the same size, the same energy level all of their life. They look amazing and they have a stack of energy. and they look great in their clothes, and they don't ever diet, and they don't ever worry about getting fat. So there's a great question to be asked there, and the neuroscientists are, of course, studying it. How come there are people who have never dieted ever in their life? They've never watched or counted a calorie. They've never watched what they've eaten. They've just eaten whatever they wanted, drunk whatever they wanted, done whatever they want in their life that may or may not have included exercise, and they're still in peak physical condition. And when I say that, they've got a stack of energy, they perform at their best, they love what they see in the mirror, and they love the results they're getting from their life. And I always ask, isn't that the four most important things? So if you could, and I'll rephrase, what if we watch what those people are doing rather than be so influenced by the people that are so fanatical and so argumentative and contradicting, and they just carry on about what you should and shouldn't eat and how you should and shouldn't exercise and all the different fads and fallacies and fashions of the exercise industry and the food and dieting industry? What if we just decided, I'm going to have a fast metabolic rate, I'm going to have a respiratory quotient that prefers to burn fat, I'm going to be a fit, healthy human, I'm going to love my life, I'm going to love my food, and I'm going to move more, and I'm not going to whinge, moan and complain? And could all of those things add up to a person who wakes up every day loving their life? And if that could happen, if you haven't done it, maybe we shouldn't knock it till we've tried it. If you are doing it, it's working, congratulations. And if, like me, you love having a body that, even though it's getting older, it's still got fast twitch muscle fibers, it's still capable of sprinting and lifting heavy and boxing and loving its food. And I think that's the most important thing. If you love your food, wouldn't it be nice to eat it with passion, with pleasure, with enjoyment, without being concerned about getting fat or without feeling guilty that you ate it? And I don't want that for our kids. I want our kids to grow up in a world where they love their food, they love their exercise, and their body is a fast food burning machine. Wouldn't that be awesome? Woohoo!